Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and or good morning, as the case may be, across this great land of ours. Commercially heard from the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands in the west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and the worldwide internet as well, of course. We are distributed by Broadcast.com, and we are assisted by the Intel Corporation, which came up with this wonderful mathematical formula that allows a program called G2, or the new G7, or one form or another. And what you do is go to my website and download the G2 program, insert into thy computer, come back to my website, click on streaming video, and here I will be in my South Park t-shirt doing whatever it is I do in the middle of the night. I'd like to welcome WGHQAM in Kingston, New York. 920 on the dial. Hello there in Kingston, New York. It's West. KUGR. In Green River, Wyoming, which was on the network some years ago and is now back, so welcome back, Green River. It's going to be a kind of a different night tonight. I had heard 2 days ago from Mel of Mel's Hole, and I know you're out there somewhere, Mel, and Mel was supposed to call me and give me a telephone number where I could reach him tonight. Now, well, actually an hour from now, and he was going to come back on the air and give you an update, but he has not called with his number. Where are you, Mel? Have you taken the big jump? He said that would be his final act, but he was here visiting from Australia, and he was going to give us an update on Mel's Hole right now, tonight. Anyway, we'll see. Mel, you know how to email me, so you can email me or call me at the number I gave you and give me a number to reach you right now, and I still will do that. But Mel has not yet called, so he may not be here, in which case we'll do open lines. You know, I told you we had high winds here, really high winds. Had to be 70, 80 miles an hour at least. This was, about a week, 2 weeks ago. And a week ago. A little better. And it damaged some antennas that I had and some wind generators, and they said it was the oddest thing they ever saw. It was high, straight-level winds, which we have in the desert, obviously, sometimes. But it was also the meanest wind shear they had ever observed at the same time. And so I was putting up some new antennas, and I noticed that I had one antenna that had, in fact they all did actually, warning stickers, danger stickers, all over them. Now I know they have to do, I guess they have to do that. They have to put lots of danger stickers on in modern America. You have to warn about everything. But this one really takes the cake. This one is an extra danger label. It says, if antenna supporting structure does not have a danger label, which it did, it had so many damn danger labels that you could barely hold on to it. Anyway, it says, attach this label to a plainly visible part of the base of the supporting structure, mast, tower, pole, whatever. Clean surface to which this sign is to be applied. And so not only do you get danger labels, more than you can handle, but you get extra danger labels. America's getting to be a very strange place. Like, you're not aware that if your antenna falls over a 25,000-volt power line, there's liable to be some injury. Duh. So now we're getting extra added danger labels. All right, let us look briefly at the news. Then I've got some news for you. Let's see, quest for Israeli-Syrian peace begins. When did it ever end? I mean, they've been moving with that one forever. U.S.-China agree on compensation. Yes, well, during the Iraq War, you may recall, we bombed the Chinese embassy. Remember that? So we said, oops, sorry, bad maps. That's why we did that, bad maps. That will cost the taxpayer $28 million, which has been approved, to give to the Chinese in compensation for loss of life and property. Russia tried to go storming into Grozny and was turned back by the Chechen rebels that had rocket-propelled grenades, and we are told that Russian bodies were draped over burning tanks in retreat, so that didn't work either. Airlines revamp customer service. They've come up with this thing now called, I don't know if you've flown lately, but airplanes ain't what they used to be. In fact, on most airlines now, unless you're really taking a big international trip, you're lucky if they run by the aisle and throw a pack of roasted peanuts, round roasted peanuts at you. And so I guess there's coming to be some Bill of Rights. I doubt it includes improvement in the food service. I'll never forget one flight. And I wrote a blistering letter to the airlines. The only thing they had was turkey. I think I've told you this. Turkey burgers, turkey sandwiches, some other kind of turkey. It was all turkey. All turkey all the time. Horrid. And I wrote a letter saying that it was indeed a foul choice. But we're supposed to have a passenger's Bill of Rights. Well, let's see. What should be in the passenger's Bill of Rights? How about the right not to have your luggage lost? How about the right not to get stuck at an airport for hours and hours because they decide they cancel a flight that doesn't have enough people booked on it? I don't know. I could think of a lot of things. I've done a lot of flying, and we need some rights. I'll tell you that. Windows 2000 is on the way. Microsoft has announced the official release of Windows 2000. I continue to use Windows 95. Now, I'm going to let those of you out there who always try something brand new, the minute it comes out, you can try Windows 2000. And when you think it's finally operating correctly, and you're having no problems, then and only then might I load Windows 98, figuring they've got all the bugs out of that. So that's my attitude. Pretty retro, huh? Now, the book. As you know from last night's program, we have a brand new book. Art Bell and Whitley Strieber have authored a book called The Coming Global Superstorm, and it is going totally berserk out there. It is flying up the charts on Amazon.com. The publisher called today and was jumping up and down and saying, hooray. It is being embraced by those of you that are calling to get autographed copies. Now, I'm going to give you the number, and this will be the last night. I don't know if they're exactly at 1,000. I suspect they are. Like, actually, I think I know they are. But we will do one more night, and that's the end of it. One last night, and that night is tonight, and that time is now. So, after this, the only way that you're going to get the global superstorm is by going to a bookstore, and they're in bookstores right now. Many of you will do that. Going to Amazon.com. Now, I'll tell you something. It's amazing to me that Amazon offers such good deals. How do they do that? Now, you can go to my website, and they've got, you'll see the Global Superstorm book website right away. Oh, by the way, they've got a free, really cool screensaver up there for you, if you want it. It's on the website, along with information about the book. So, here is the deal, and you trust me when I tell you, we are ending this after tonight. Autographed copies of the global, the coming global superstorm. For the next number of hours only, and then we are canceling it. For a lot of really good reasons. The most important of which is I can only sign, or I will only sign, so many books this time period. Now, I'm sorry to say there's a great deal of evidence that what we have outlined in that book is not only coming, as in the title, Coming Global, Superstorm, is here. Actually, you may call them, to use an Ed Dames type phrase, we're getting plenty of precursor events right now, or it's underway, depending on how you want to look at it. The storm in Europe that they never saw coming, with 100-mile-per-hour plus winds. The most powerful cyclone ever recorded in Australia with winds of 300 kilometers per hour that smashed into Western Australia yesterday. Actually, the day before now. And I can go on and on. CNN Headline News is running a very interesting story right now. It's all about our Earth as seen from space. And they now have been looking at Earth from space for about 2 decades. You know, some decent detail. And the deforestation photos they're showing are absolutely incredible. They showed the heat record of Atlanta, Georgia, and how Atlanta, Georgia is getting warmer and warmer and warmer. And it's really getting strange out there. It's strange to write a book with a, you know, that really is researched fiction. And that's what this is. It'll scare the hell out of you. And I say research because there are a lot of facts that are contained within the scenario presented, let's put it that way. Boy, am I seeing the signs. It's all around us now. Let me read you a couple of faxes that I've just received. Hey, Art and Ramona, why can't the scientific community explain the reason that Lake Erie is 5 feet higher on one side, and the shoreline extends farther out on the other side? The explanation is simple. It's wind, and it's causing the water to raise on one side. Now, I haven't heard that of you. He goes on, anyone with common sense knows that the wind cannot cause water to go up one side and lower on the other. Plus, has anyone bothered to notice the sun is rising in a different horizontal plane than its normal pattern, and the sun is setting differently? He goes on to say, I notice the belt of Orion is laying down on his side in Northern California when I was a child. He stood upright. I've heard of lazy stars, but this is not normal. I don't know about the second part, but the first, Lake Erie, is higher on one side than the other. Now, I had not heard that. How about you? Or this from Alaska. These are all in the last few hours, as a matter of fact. Dear Art, when I was a purser on the Alaska Marine Highway, we would pull into Skagway, and it would be 70 or 80 degrees Fahrenheit, just beautiful. The travelers would comment they're surprised. They had not expected such warm weather. I'd give them my speech. This is global warming. It shows up here first. See the gravel on the tops of those high mountains? It's gray, not green or brown. Nothing has grown on the rocks yet. Those rocks have not seen the light of day for 25,000 years. 20 years ago, when I started this job, those mountains were covered with glaciers. Now, they're bare. Now, we like that up here. We'll be growing wheat soon. But if I were you, and I'd look them right in the eye, I'd be terrified. Because it's a coming ice age. Right now, in Ketchikan, Alaska, it has been raining since October of 98. We're in 65 inches above normal for 99. It's a horror. The winds begin in the chain across the Gulf and slam into us without let-up. It's wild. The beaches at Kodiak are poisoned with red tide. No one can eat a clam there anymore. I'm afraid it will all come across. I bought your book last night. Glad I waited. Have fun in Manhattan. Here's some art I did 10 years ago after the glaciers disappeared. Signed, Mary. Now, those are interesting words from a tour guide, aren't they? So anyway, if you want a signed edition, last chance, and I mean last chance, this was fast, wasn't it, of the coming global superstorm, which I'm afraid is coming, you call 1-800-864-7991. Now, it gets hopelessly jammed up. And I understand your frustration in trying to get through. If you make it, you make it. If you don't, then my next suggestion would be Amazon.com. Because, boy, do they discount books. Now, you would think, having written some books, I would know a lot about the book business. But I don't. In fact, I can't figure it out at all. How are the bookstores going to survive Amazon.com? How are they going to survive? I mean, they're selling it at a great discount. Not my book, but everybody's book, which was mine. And if you can, well, of course, I guess not everybody has a computer, but when they finally do, how are bookstores ever going to survive? When computer penetration out there gets to be, oh, I don't know, whatever, 80, 90%, what's going to happen to all the bookstore? Bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
We're gonna make it.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
I'm getting about a million faxes saying, Art, I love that song. Where can I get it? Well, there are various CDs and so forth. It's an old song. It's one of those songs that, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I don't remember it when it was originally out, and I heard it, and I fell in love all over again. Actually, for the first time. And you've got to admit, they spelled that thing out. Anyhow, good morning. It's going to be open lines coming up here in a moment. Somebody just sent me a URL of an Art Bell hate site. Curtis Sliwa and company really, really are getting busy out there. Are you really that threatened by me, Curtis? I don't think so. But Curtis and his clad group are now expanding their effort into cyberspace. It must be hard to hate so much. How can you do it, Curtis? How can you do it? I mean, such absolute hate that he would bring on priests to exorcise me from the radio, that kind of thing. Doing entire shows where priests are coming on the radio on WABC to exorcise me. Can you imagine the depth of the hate that generates something like that? Absolutely incredible. Now, there is one more thing here. Somebody sent me a Canadian joke that I probably shouldn't read. But if I can find it, I'm going to read it anyway, because I don't care. I thought it was funny. Ah, here it is. It's entitled, A Little Canadian Humor. Cheers. This is from Judy. Okay, Judy. A Canadian was having his café, croissants, bread, butter, and jam, when an American man, chewing gum, sat down next to him. The Canadian ignored the American, who nevertheless began a conversation. American, you Canadian folk eat the whole slice of bread? Canadian, surprise. Of course we do. American, after blowing a huge bubble. We don't. In the States, we eat only what's inside. The crusts we collect in a container, recycle them. Transform them into croissants and sell them to Canada. The American at this point has a smirk upon his Americanized face. The Canadian listens in silence. They do that a lot up there. The American persists. Do you eat jelly with the bread? Canadian replies, of course. The American, cracking his gum between his teeth and chuckling, says, we don't. In the States, we eat fresh fruit for breakfast. Then we put all the peels, seeds, and leftovers in containers, recycle them, transform them into jam, and we sell them to Canada. The Canadian pauses and asks, do you have sex in America? The American says, why, of course we do. He says this with a big smirk on his face. The Canadian says, what do you do with the condoms once you've used them? The American says, well, of course, we throw them away. The Canadian says, we don't. In Canada, we put them in a container, recycle them, melt them down into chewing gum, and sell them to the States. Something to think about. I can't believe it. You should see this website, and really, you shouldn't. It's no doubt been erected by Curtis Sliwa followers. I didn't know they could use keyboards, so I'm surprised they've been able to muster this up. I really didn't think they could use keyboards, but apparently so. And so it's a true hate site. The depth of the hate is hard to measure. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
I'm Alexander in Wasilla.
Wasilla, Alaska. Hello there. Yes?
Oh, okay. Wait a minute.
Oh, turn
my radio on. Let me turn my radio off here.
Bad move.
Okay. You know, I listened to your program last night about the weather change. I didn't listen to it all.
Yes.
And we do have a lot of glaciers up here. I don't know if you remember Portage Glacier outside of Anchorage.
Yes, I do.
That's completely gone.
The glaciers are in unbelievable retreat.
Oh, yeah, they are. I went up to Fairbanks this fall, and
I was in Juneau and saw the glacier pulling back.
Yeah, I imagine you did. We went down. We took that 26th glacial tour this summer, too. That's quite the trip. But they pointed out how far these glaciers have receded in just, you know, 20 years, 30
well,
years.
Well, here's something to bear in mind, and that is the following. Glaciers do go through cycles of growth and retreat. However, the amount of retreat in the last decade or two is unprecedented. They have never, ever seen anything like it. Everything is melting. You think about it. Again, as I said yesterday, I think during the program, you visualize our globe as seen from space. And you've got ice on the top, and you've got ice on the bottom, right? And all of that ice is in the process of melting at the top and the bottom. Now, the effect that is going to have on our ocean currents and ultimately our weather is the precise theme of a dramatized, researched bit of fiction called The Coming Global Superstorm. I really, really, really suggest that you grab a copy as soon as you can. Whitley and I disagree a little bit about the consequences of this. He is hopeful that there can be remediation, that something can be changed to prevent what is going to occur. I am not. But that's me. You know me, I'm a pessimist. And I think the process is not only inevitable, but it's underway right now. So, if you want to read about it, you can get the book at my website, which will take you right over to Amazon.com, and you get this wonderful discounted price. Or you can get it in a bookstore, or you can get it for a few more hours, autographed copy of it, by calling 1-800-864-7991. I know, shameless book promotion, right? 1-800-864-7991. It's going to be a bestseller. And that's a good thing, because there needs to be an immediate national, really international, sit-down about what's going on, about what we're doing to ourselves. We better do that. And even if we do, I'm not saying that's going to prevent it. And frankly, if you want to know the truth, I don't think it will. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey.
Turn your radio down, please.
I just grabbed it. I was surprised. It's Mike from Fairbanks.
Yes. Oh, Fairbanks. All right.
Yeah. I heard Wasilla. I said, well, I'll try to call. What the heck? I had heard. You mentioned that surge in Lake Erie.
Yes.
There was a weather show on earlier today, and the guy was talking about a phenomenon after a storm surge in a lake where the water kind of slops back and forth across the length of it. It's called a seiche.
That's really weird. This fellow thought it was the wind.
Well, yeah, that's what they were talking about. You know, you had heavy winds with, well, like a hurricane.
I saw, I watched the Weather Channel, because I'm a weather freak. I assume you probably do, too. And on the Weather Channel earlier today, they showed 60-mile-per-hour-plus winds up around, it looked like Washington, Oregon, up in that area. were expected onshore. This is beginning to get to be common.
Oh, yeah. This guy said that they had expected high winds, and they came in like twice as strong as they'd figured.
Yeah.
And so on one side of the lake, it's the after the storm surge recedes, it's like slopping the water in a big bathtub. Lake Erie.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think...
He had a French word for it, a siege, he called it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. So there you are, you see. As a result of the increased wind, the wind is increasing everywhere. The storms, whether they be hurricanes, whether they be tornadoes, but we had an F6, that's impossible. Whether they be the equivalent of a hurricane in the Pacific, reaching 300 kilometers per hour. I mean, the news is absolutely out there right in front of you. All you have to do is look, and you can see it all around you, and you can know that I am correct, that we are correct about what is coming. It's going to be like hitting a reset button. It's Mother Nature, and I didn't say this last night, or I didn't fit it in, but it's like Mother Nature hitting a reset button and simply bringing things back into balance. And at the end of it all, at the end of this storm, there will be balance once again. Now, circumstances on the ground will be a little different, but there will be balance. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. How are you?
Just fine.
Okay. Art, anytime. This is Barry, and I'm in Columbia, South Carolina, and I still have your poster waiting for you.
Do you really?
Yes, of Somewhere in Time.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
You know, anytime you want it, Art, you just drop me a line, and the poster is yours.
You got it.
Listen, Art, I am holding an album here that is put out by a record company that is from Elliott, South Carolina, and it's one of those compilation albums, and on volume number 4 of Ocean Drive, cut number 12 is Nothing But a Heartache by the Flirtations.
You're kidding.
That's right.
Well, that's where you've got to find it these days.
Yeah, this is a record company that caters to South Carolina beach music.
Is that what it is? South Carolina beach music?
The funny thing about it is I think that I've figured this thing out really from a long time ago. It's way back from the 50s and 60s when people didn't like R&B music when it was R&B music, so they called it beach music. So their parents wouldn't know they were dancing to that nasty rhythm and blues and Motown
music. Well, let me tell you something I've noticed, and I now challenge you to pay attention.
Okay.
If you watch sporting events like the NFL, football games, or whatever,
yes,
you will notice that every time something cool happens or there's a little break in the action, in the stadium they will play something from the 50s or the 60s. Never anything new. And there's a reason for that.
Why?
Because in the 50s, 60s, early 70s, they actually had tunes. They actually had music.
Oh, yeah.
And if they were to play something like, you know, you hear on the radio today...
Wouldn't go.
It wouldn't fly at all. People go, what the hell is that noise?
Well, Art, by the way, since you've been talking about all of your books for these last couple of weeks, I want you to know that I've read The Quickening, and I've also read your biography, and I loved it.
Well, thank you.
Especially, I used to be in radio myself, so I can relate to some of this stuff, but the thing about the leaking over the head coming down, dropping on you, oh, that was funny.
Do you know that... The radio station was notified they would be ejected from the hotel because of that broadcast.
I remember reading that.
And I was told that I was going to get canned. All that after being victim of what happened to me.
Mm-hmm. I used to work at a radio station, and we were on the second story of a building, and every time it rained... There was a zillion leaks in that studio. I mean, I'm surprised that we didn't get electrocuted. Every time the rain would just come dropping in on the ceiling.
You know, rain would have been bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
But this...
This was off-colored rain.
I can. Oh, by the way, also another funny thing that I have to tell you, and then I will let somebody else have the thrill of talking to you. And believe me, I've longed for just calling up and being able to talk to you for a second or two when there was no rush on getting off or whatever. So I guess this is my birthday present for this weekend, I guess, as I turn the big 5-0. But the funny thing about it was the night that you did have Jane Seymour on before you went to
Union, to Mackinac Island, yes.
Christopher Reeve was in town locally appearing at a fundraiser, believe it or not.
Really?
Really. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so funny because you had Jane Seymour on the show, and he was appearing at a big fundraiser, and I think it was like $75 for the whatever, and I understood that he didn't take a big cut out of the fundraising money either, that he came in and the money that you paid went to the charity.
He's a very special man.
Oh, he is. Well, G.R., this has been a real pleasure talking to you with no stopwatch, and thank you for being there. And one last thing,
yeah.
I have gotten a C. Crane radio. Bring on Y2K.
All right. Thank you. Well, you don't have to urge me to bring on Y2K. Here it comes. And echoing to last night's program again for a moment, have you noticed that now, in the final days, mind you, before the event, whatever in the hell it's going to be, nothing or something awful, or something in between, I have no idea, but in the final days before whatever it's going to be, they have begun advertising the fact that you should be squirreling away water because, well, gee, maybe 40% of the water treatment plants and that kind of thing aren't going to work or may not be Y2K compliant. And they're doing this in the final few days. Great PR move, huh, folks?
When I see my baby, what do I see?
Do you remember this one?
Poetry. Poetry in motion.
Do you hear the tune in this music?
Poetry in motion.
Hear that, a tune?
Walking by my side. Her lovely locomotion keeps my eyes open wide. Poetry in motion.
Hang on, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
Move that way. I love every movement. There's nothing I would change. She doesn't need improvements. She's much too nice to rearrange. Poetry in motion. Seen in its town. Her long blonde hair hanging down around her knees. All the cats who dig striptease praying for a little breeze. Her long blonde hair falling down across her arms, hiding all the latest charms. Found fame and made her name. A Hollywood director came into town and said to her, how'd you like to be a star? You're a girl who could go far, especially dressed the way you are. She smiled at him.
Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 15, 1999.
There was a slim possibility that at this hour we were going to have Mel of Mel's Hole fame on the air with us. He was supposed to be here, but he has not called the number to give me the number to call him to get him on the air. So, Mel, if you're out there, you've got my number. Otherwise, email me quickly with yours, and we'll get you on the air. Barring that, and I think the chances now are very slim, we're going to have open lines all night long. Now, in addition to all of the wind stories that I gave to you in the first hour, how about this one? Art, here in New Hampshire, we had a storm over 100 miles per hour. It was this last weekend. And it apparently was a low that formed way out just south of Nova Scotia. The skies were clear that day and night. The winds were straight-line winds that you were talking about. They were also wraparound winds from that storm. Talk about a big wind radius. The high winds were even reported in upstate New York. So the reports just continue to flood in from everywhere. High winds. Really high winds. Australia pounded with 300 kilometer per hour winds. Europe slammed with 100 miles an hour here in the desert. New Hampshire, the Great Lakes. The forecast earlier tonight showing winds of 60 miles per hour plus coming in to the Pacific Northwest. It's amazing out there. Absolutely amazing. And it appears to be ratcheting up toward what? Possibly the global superstorm that we wrote about in the book that you can get. Shameless plug. The New York Times article about what's going on with the ice. 40% of the ice gone. The Arctic. The depth of the ice. Can you imagine that? The Antarctic, the other side, you know, we have ice on both poles, right? It's melting. It's all melting, and people will write and say, so what, who cares? That's what I got last night. Number of facts, so what, who cares? What difference does it make to us? You'll find out.
Now we take you back to the night of December 15th, 1999, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Here's another one. Ho, ho, ho. Greetings from Altitude Lou up here at Windblown Maine. 2 days ago, Art, we had 106 mile per hour winds at valley level throughout Maine and New Hampshire. Winds up in the White Mountains reached gusts of 150 miles an hour, and roads were closed, trees down everywhere, power outages in 3 states, go figure. Well, that's what I've done. And you must admit the news is it seems very dire, doesn't it? And then there's this. Somebody claiming an Associated Press article that they're going to send me, and I believe it probably is so, he says, if I had a fax machine, I'd send you this article. It was an article about 200 Massachusetts officials going into a concrete bunker 40 feet underground on New Year's Eve to monitor Europe and Australia. They're going to have guards at the doors just in case of panic. The article appeared in the 12/13/99 issue of the Foster's Daily Democrat in Dover, New Hampshire, he says. The AP picked it up because it had the AP symbol. So, I have no idea of knowing if that's true or not, but I do know there are bunkers elsewhere. In Washington, I believe, outside or inside of L.A., where officials who are not saying very much about Y2K nevertheless plan to go way underground. Now, why do you suppose they're doing that? I mean, if they really don't expect much, I suppose you can argue that they're officials. They are the government. It is their duty and their job to be prepared should something occur. And so that it's nothing all that special. But still, to the average guy, you know, all of us up here, it is slightly worrisome, slightly, that government officials would be headed underground on a day on which they don't expect much to happen. Concrete bunker and guards. Anyway, one last time, and this is the last time, let me tell you that our new book, The Coming Global Superstorm, which was supposed to be a scenario, researched fiction, if you will, it's a drama, scary. Unfortunately, it looks as though it may be unfolding right now. And I, you know, with all the stories I've read, it blows me away. It has now happened to me not once, but twice, with regard to writing this kind of a book, that it turns out looking like prophecy. And I can assure you, I am not a prophet. Damn it. I am not a prophet. Nor am I a savior, nor anything else like that. I am just a talk show host. But I seem to have, along with Whitley Strieber in this case, a talent for anticipating what is about to occur. And I hope I'm wrong, but all the signs suggest that I am right. Anyway, the book is out, just out, brand new book, and it's in all the bookstores across America, and it's on Amazon.com at a discounted price. You can go to my website and go over to Amazon, and you'll find it there at a discounted price. And for a few more hours, and I guarantee, this is the last time. Only a few more hours, because people are angry, and I'm sorry about that. They've been trying to get through to this 800 number, and they've not been getting through. And so I'm sorry. You know, and people have been writing me angry emails and stuff. So, for one more day, the last day, we will accept orders for autographed copies, and then it really is going to be cut off. And you've been given fair warning, and don't be angry at me, please. Because I can only sign so many books. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Is this Art Bell?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hi.
It's a pleasure talking to you. I would like to kind of clear things up about us born-again Christians.
Okay.
I've heard a lot about, you know, that we're kind of categorized as being kind of getting disrupted about the UFOs and whatever.
Well, surely many born-agains do regard UFOs as not a craft from another dimension, not craft from another planet or place or system, but as agents of the devil.
Well, you know, whatever that may be. I don't believe.
Well, what do you
that.
Mean, whatever?
Well, what I
are you
I
are you
believe...
a born are you a born again Christian?
Oh yeah. Well, actually, I'm a Messianic Jew.
Do you believe in God?
Oh yeah.
Do you believe in?
I'm a Christian.
Do you,
Jew,
do you believe?
In other words.
Do you believe in the devil?
Pardon me.
Do you believe in the devil?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the crafts that I've seen are demonic. I believe that they, you know, that the United States have these crafts. You know, and biblically it kind of upholds it. I think the Christians that you talk to are kind of what we call immature or...
Where in the Bible does it explain a large triangular craft moving without sound and defying gravity?
No, but it talks about the technology that we're going to come into that explains that. You know, I mean, if you look at Einstein's theory... And whatever, I mean, that opened up a whole new physics, you know, and I believe that mankind, you know, especially the government, have come a long ways in this type of technology. Now, if it came from extraterrestrials, maybe it could. You
maybe,
know, I don't disregard that there are, you know, extraterrestrials.
Well, I can assure you, you are not your average born again. Yeah, because I have talked to many, and they think it is of the devil. anything of that sort that cannot be explained is of the devil. That is a general view. It's not an absolute view. Nothing is ever 100%, but high 90s at least. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering...
You're going to have to yell at us, dear. Where are you?
I'm in Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines.
My name is Linda, but I was wondering whatever happened to that thing that crashed into the reservoir in Australia.
Well, I can tell you. The divers went down, and they were unable... They actually found that whatever it was had embedded itself a foot or two or three into the dam itself. And
Wow. And
it would have been structurally unsound for them to try to dig it out. Oh. So they said it's a meteorite. But, you know, I wondered, and we all should wonder, since they didn't dig it out, how the hell would they know it's a meteorite?
I would disagree with that because I don't think meteorites leave skid marks in the soil.
Well, they might.
Yeah.
They might. I mean, depending on the angle that they're coming in. But my point was, until they actually bring it out and say, gee, look at this, a meteorite, how can they declare, oh, it's okay, it's just a meteorite? No, we haven't seen it, but it's in the dam there.
Yeah. And another thing you might like to know, a lot of National Guard facilities have been moving underground, and the one in Des Moines now is like 90% underground.
This is going to be a really weird time, you know?
Yeah.
Really weird. I appreciate the call. I mean, all over they've got these bunkers, and it's like, don't listen to what they're saying, watch what they're doing. Why would they need to go underground? Politicians, public safety, National Guard, regular military, various policing officials, underground. Well, there's only going to be minor disruptions, they say, but they're going to crawl into these underground bunkers and monitor what goes on around the world. But don't worry. You know, there's something to be read there between the lines. Now, it doesn't mean something awful is going to happen, and it may be what they are supposed to do, but, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to read between the lines here. Between what they're saying they think will happen and what they're doing. I don't want to say too much, and certainly people should not panic. And I understand they don't want people to panic. And frankly, I'm worried a lot more about people than I am machines. And I bet they are, too. On my international line, you're on the air.
Hello. Oh, hi, Art. I was listening to your program there last night. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And you know, I was thinking about some of the points that were raised there. And especially what Linda was saying about the, the mammoths up north.
Yes.
Being found with, you know, buttercups in their mouth. And
yes. They died very, very quickly.
Yeah. And I was thinking about the ebb and flow of this whole cycle here. And, I could see a scenario where you have a situation where you have plant life on the planet, which gives off CO2 as a natural byproduct, giving off CO2, creating a natural sort of inversion layer, warming up the planet, providing more habitat for more plants, and sort of a natural cycle where you have this vegetation growing and growing and growing, producing more and more and more CO2, and developing that polarization in the upper and lower atmospheres that you were talking about.
Well, it must be, as we have outlined, in the coming global superstorm. It really must be like that.
It
has to happen fast. You could not have these growing green plants and an animal eating them and all of that frozen instantly without it being almost an immediate event.
So what, you know, I could see a cycle here going back, you know, who knows how many times it's gone on, but a cycle of increased vegetation, increased CO2 production, reaching a critical mass, and then all of a sudden a big
turnaround. Yeah, critical mass, that's right, and a giant resetting.
And perhaps we are just accelerating, you know, through the carbon dioxide production.
Check out CNN. Check out CNN Headline News. They're running a story right now in which they show satellite views of the Earth and the deforestation and what's going on in the rainforest and so forth. It'll scare the hell out of you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're more than making up for that with the CO2 production of the automobiles and fossil fuel production burning.
That's right. So, all right. Well, listen, I appreciate your call, and the fact of the matter is, it'll be just one more clear cut, one last clear cut somewhere, and that'll be the trigger. You know, just one toke over the line, as it were. And that'll be the trigger. I've got this really good song about that. As a matter of fact, maybe I ought to... No, I won't hold it. Do it at the bottom of the hour here. But that's what I think. One, whatever it is, you know, one last section of the rainforest cut down. One final CO2 emission. Gigantic CO2 emission. And there'll be a trigger. It'll be like there was a movie called The Trigger Effect. And we could have called the global superstorm The Trigger Effect. But this said what it is much better. And I think there's going to be some sort of trigger. And boom, the reset begins. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Art?
I'm just fine. Where are you?
I just freaked out that I got through to you.
I understand. Where are you?
This is Joe in Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, Joe.
We're listening to on WLS Radio here in Chicago.
Right.
You know, the global storms and the things you're talking about, your book and things,
yes.
I just tried calling and ordering it. The lines were busy, so I'll try again.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. You know, Art, I used to do radio here in Chicago years ago on The Loop on WLS, a lot of them. And years ago we had Richard Hoagland on our show. And was it the Mars Observer that didn't work in 1994? It stopped working?
That's right.
Okay. And remember they went up and fixed the Hubble telescope shortly after that because the mirrors or something? Remember that?
Yes, and it now is in need of repair once again, by the way.
Right. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, I always contended, I even told Richard that, I says, you know what, I think the Mars landers are working, and I think they're beaming the information to the Hubble, and I think they're going up and retrieving them because they also replaced a digital video recorder of some type.
Hmm.
Interesting, huh?
Interesting indeed.
Anyway, listen, I'll let you go. I know you're a busy guy, and you've got a great show, Art.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, on the first-time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Wow, somebody does answer this, huh?
No, somebody does not answer it, sir. This is Art Bell, and you are on the air.
Okay.
Turn your radio off.
I got her. I just... expecting somebody else to answer that.
Well, we don't screen calls.
Great. Hey, I've just been listening to this show for quite a while, and I'm relieved to hear somebody bringing this thing up, because I've been noticing the changes in the weather.
You do, huh?
Oh, you bet. But it's kind of nice to know that somebody else is seeing it out there, too. I've heard a lot of talk on it's just going to happen.
Nobody else is really talking about it. I mean, the weather people... talk individually about how terrible and record-breaking this and that is, but they are not pulling it all together, and we're not getting stories that are saying, hey, folks, we are in the middle of a climate change.
Exactly, exactly. The point I would like to get across is, I mean, is there a chance if people got together, could we reverse this thing?
Whitley thinks so.
Yeah, I mean, even if everybody on the planet planted a tree, you know, or one of those kind of deals.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was my big thing is if we had some kind of a vehicle to get people together and know that they counted and in a non-biased neutral.
Well, look, I am not against it. We should try, but I've got to be honest with you, and that's all I can be is honest with you. I think it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to render up such an opinion, but that's my view.
Yeah. I'm just kind of thinking of this is an old idea of mine, but a voice magazine, and now with the internet, if people had a way to channel all their thoughts and their wisdom, and like that last guy just called.
It may come down to trying that, and I have not ruled out trying that, so maybe I will. Listen to a couple of words of this song. It says it well. The man's name is C.W. McCall. It's an oldie but a goodie. Listen carefully.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
Them supersonic ships are going to take you across a sea of pavement to one more faceless brickyard on the shore. Yeah, it's only going to be about an hour or so till they rip off all your mountains, boy, and that one last tired old eagle bites the sand. And all of that high and mighty scenery is going to be leveled to the ground, boy, by open yellow grass fires start to burn. And the warnings on them beer cans going to be buried in them landfills. No deposit, no sad songs, and no return. Yeah, it's only going to take about a minute or so till the factories block the sun out. And you're going to have to turn your lights on just to see. And the lights are going to be neon, saying, fly our jets to paradise.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
There may be some rides that are absolutely inevitable, you know, and this may be one of them. And by the way, I've got this story now from Massachusetts. Thought I'd let you hear the tail end of this song. Seems so appropriate.
Yeah, it's only going to be about a second, boy, till they take away all of this country, and they'll tell you not to listen to this here song. And that far-off sound of freedom is going to be an echo from the past, and the final tune is going to be sad and long. And it's only going to be about an eye blink, boy, till they pull out the world of blindness, so we just can't read all the messages on the wall. But the only words that matter ought to be scribbled all over them billboards in big old black and bloody letters, 10 feet tall.
There won't be no country music, there won't be no rock and roll. When they take away our country, they'll take away our soul.
All right, here's the story from Framingham, Massachusetts. It's called Y2K Bunker Ready. While the rest of the state rings in the new year and the new millennium, about 200 people now, it says, will be down in a 40-foot deep concrete-lined bunker in Framingham, monitoring the Y2K situation. The governor there will stay in touch with the group of police officers, National Guard, state officials, and lawmakers through a secured communication line. While Revelers Party, remember ID4? The group in the bunker will be keeping an eye on the power grid and other infrastructure. They'll also use global maps, 24-hour news reports, and overseas telephone lines to monitor the Y2K bug in Europe and Australia, where it is going to hit first. Officials tell the Boston Globe they don't expect a catastrophe, but local disruptions, kind of like those experienced during a severe winter storm, are still possible. Now, let's think about this. If they're saying all they think will happen is local disruptions equivalent to a severe winter storm, why are all 200 people going down 40 feet in a concrete-lined bunker with government, police, and military? Now, somewhere, all of that, to me, just does not quite add up.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
This is from a friend of mine here in town, here in Pahrump. Another ham, fellow ham. He sends me the following. Thank you, Paul, by the way. Hillary Clinton died and went to heaven. St. Peter was giving her a tour of heaven when she noticed there were dozens of clocks on the wall. Each clock displayed a different time of day. When she asked St. Peter about the clocks, he replied, "Well, we have a clock for each person on earth, and every time they tell a lie, the hands move. The clocks tick off 1 second each time a lie is told." Special attention was given to two clocks. The clock belonging to Mother Teresa had never moved, ever, indicating she never had told a lie. The clock for Abraham Lincoln had only moved twice, indicating he only told two lies in his life. Hillary asked, "Where's Bill's clock?" St. Peter said, "God has that one in his office. He's using it as a ceiling fan." East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Frank calling from Palm Bush, New York.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Good. Just curious what your thoughts on how exactly it's going to be after January 1st are.
You know, that's an honest question, and I'm really going to give you an honest answer. I think that we need to worry about two things near term, and they are the power, and that's anybody's guess, because they really haven't done anything about those embedded chips. So the grid may go down, or it may not. And the other is water, with about 40% of the plants being not compliant. So you might have to worry about water. That's right away. Otherwise, I don't think the effects of Y2K are going to be noticed until the first business day back.
Yeah.
By and large. I mean, there'll be some scattered, oh my God, my credit card doesn't work, or, you know, whatever. But basically, on the first business day back, when a lot of businesses go to their databases, they're going to find out they don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I think. And the other thing I think is that I'm a lot more worried about people than I am machines. The machines, ultimately, we can deal with. And the people, I'm not so sure, and I'm sure that is the way government feels as well. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Art. This is Bill in Burbank again.
And, hi, Bill.
I must apologize. I didn't hear your show the other night, and I was just wondering if you touched on the state of the art in, as far as what scientists are saying this week about glaciation, and the fact that all of the recent studies, you know, the flash frozen mammoths with the food fresh in their stomachs and mouths,
yes,
et cetera,
yes,
that all indicates to them that a very plausible scenario for these events taking place could transpire in not centuries as they thought before, or even decades, but just a matter of 20 years.
Hello there. Or even sooner.
There's
really no way to know. It's kind of like, you know, waiting for the big one in Southern California. You know it's going to happen. You don't know when.
And another thing, I really do enjoy you sharing the soundtrack of your life with us on the occasions that you have the opportunity to do so. And I know how it can be. I had a good friend that was a radio personality. He was a DJ, as they used to be called, I guess, and still are. And because of that, he didn't really have the opportunity to hear as much music as he would like to. So I sat down to compile some tunes that I thought you might find of interest, especially for your friend Curtis. And one of them, and it's off of a Lou Reed album called New York.
Yes.
And the tune is, I'll send you the compilation. If you just quickly give me your P.O. Box number and your zip, I've got everything else.
All right. It's P.O. Box 4755.
4755.
And the zip code is 89048.
89048. Okay, great. I'll have that in the mail tomorrow. But if it doesn't get to your attention, and I can understand, it's just going to be a tiny piece in a pile of unsolicited offerings.
No, I will examine it.
Oh, great, because there's two tunes on it. One of them is Sick of You, which you could dedicate to Curtis, and and it would be more than appropriate.
All right, where do you say you are?
I'm in Burbank.
Oh, Burbank, that's right. So you don't actually hear Curtis.
Oh, no,
You just hear about this ongoing mess.
Oh, yeah, I hear about it. I don't hear anything. I mean, I don't have time to pay attention to people like that. You know, it's difficult enough to try to keep an eye and a finger on the pulse of what's happening.
And the same people.
Huh?
And the same people.
Yeah, and the same people. I mean, anybody that you know, anybody that's on a I'm going to save the world with my uniform and my followers trip. I mean, but another thing, I've often in the last year that I've been listening to you, which is highly unusual for me, and I didn't really know why, because after a while I realized that, you know, this New Age wisdom is really kind of rehashed and recycled in a lot of ways.
Oh, it's old.
It's old. It's old story.
Sure, it's old.
It's old story.
It's very, very old. It's a return to what was, sir. Thank you very much. You're exactly right. This so-called New Age wisdom, a lot of it, and there's a lot of BS, too, involved with it. But a great deal of what is called New Age is really something very old. It's a return to what was. Not all of it. A lot of it is new and flashy and bunk. But the return to a quieter contemplation of what is around you, a return to some meditative techniques, a return to thinking of Earth as a living organism, all of that is really very, very old. And so that caller is dead correct. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Eric.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Just fine.
Hey, let's hear Dr. Jonathan Reed.
Yes.
Yeah, excellent show. Does the number 37778 ring a bell?
No.
About a year ago.
37778?
Yes.
No.
I emailed you a number to see if you would like to reply back, but apparently not.
You emailed me a number?
Yes.
Was I supposed to understand what that meant?
Well, it was about a year ago, so. But anyway, I talked to. Let's see here. I did
no, don't
research.
Skip over that. What is 37778? What is it?
Basically, it was just a number to see if you would reply back to a certain idea that I had about a year ago. It had to do something along the lines with the Grays, basically.
The Grays?
Yes. Yes.
Is that like a phone number?
Basically, it was a pager number, basically.
For a gray?
No. It was for you to page me back. It was a 1-800 number.
I see.
And, basically, I've been researching the grays for quite some time myself. I had an encounter when I was younger.
And what have you determined?
It was weird because, I went to a minister here in town. Where I live.
Yes.
And basically, I told him I was doing some research, and I had this idea, a few years ago, about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that these grays, they aren't from other planets. They're actually us, but from the future. And I did some research, and I went to a local minister here, and he was a well-educated guy. He a lot of years in school for
and what did he think of your theory?
He looked me straight in the eye and he said, "How did you find that out?"
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
You're kidding.
No. I am not kidding. I'm a little nervous about it.
What kind of minister?
Let's hear. It's like a Christian based. I knew the one minister.
This is not your average Christian answer, I guarantee.
No, far from it.
How did you find that out?
What's that?
He said to you, "How did you find that out?"
How did I find that out exactly?
Oh man!
Yeah, basically, it really shook me up pretty much last year, and I was hoping to talk to the minister that was regularly there, and he wasn't there. And so
because I was about to ask you to get hold of this minister and have him call me.
I can do that.
Really?
I can.
You get that minister's number for me, and I guarantee you, I will call him and get him on the air.
Definitely, definitely, yeah. I will do that.
All right. I'll look forward to it. Thank you. All right. Wow. How did you find out about that? Not your average answer from a Christian minister at all. We in the church know about this. This is not information that regular churchgoers would normally have. How did you find out? I've got to talk to that fellow. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. Let me turn on the radio.
That's good.
Trying to get a hold of you. I've been listening to you and waiting for your book to come out.
Oh, I've been... It's It really is. I've said this about other books, but it's still true. It's like getting ready to have a baby when you've written a book like this.
Well, I've been curious, and where you have you've skirted the surface. I'm here. I think I can explain it in toto.
All right.
Happening, what's coming.
Can you?
From beginning to end.
Well, if you can do it in a relatively short time,
well, let's see
it.
Where we start.
Go ahead.
Start with the sun.
Yep.
Now, in order to understand the sun, you have to take into account what it is and what's going on. The sun is basically a combination of atoms that are acting as a single atom. The sun is recycling itself. Protons are falling to the center, and the sun expels and cycles electrons. And I'm sorry, the neutrons fall to the center.
Well, this is a process of an ongoing hydrogen.
No, it's not hydrogen. It's a pressure, a magnetic pressure chain reaction. All suns, all planets go through this process. The larger the body, the faster the process takes place. Same thing's happening on Jupiter. Now, as the sun discharges the electrons and the protons,
I thought it was just a fusion process.
No, it is now. The word fusion is a correct definition, but as we have been taught it, it's not correct. When atoms in the core of the sun are compressed closer and closer together, they do not fuse as we do when we slam atoms together in a hydrogen
okay, with your understanding of the operation of the sun, then what can you explain to me why the corona of the sun is about a million degrees while the very center of the sun is cooler by...
Okay, here it is. Let me tell you why.
Why?
The core of the sun, what causes the gravitational pull of the sun, is the aligning of the neutrons. In the corona, it is virtually solid electrons.
I thought it was mass that caused gravitation.
No, it is the neutron. The electron is a charged particle, and the proton are charged particles. The neutron is the weight particle. That's why when you have a burned out star, you have a neutron star. It is burned off.
That I get. But
driven off all the electrons and the protons.
I know, but gravity that creates it keeps
the attractive force
keeps the moon going around the Earth.
Now, the attractive force of that holds the planets and everything in line and holds matter in line are the neutrons. Now, as neutrons, it's just like an iron bar. An iron bar is just an iron bar until you wrap an electrical current around it, and then it becomes a magnet.
Yes.
And what it does is the electrical field aligns the atoms all in the same direction, so they work together.
Yes.
And then it becomes very powerful.
Correct.
Same thing happens in the sun. As the neutrons fall out of the atoms and collect in the center of the sun, and the protons and the electrons are driven off, then the neutrons, as their numbers increase, they begin more and more to align, and as they do, they get the field gets stronger and stronger.
All right, we're running out of time. Okay. So basically, anyway, your concept of the way the sun operates means
now here's,
what,
here's
means
what's
what.
Happening on Earth, and here's
yes.
what's driving your whole system.
Yes.
Let me go to this so you can connect with it real simple. A manna about 15, 18 years ago made an oven top that cooked with an induction coil. What it is, it created an electromagnetic field, and you had to cook with an iron skillet or pot. The magnetic field acted as a resistor. Iron acts as a resistor to an electromagnetic field.
So it would heat.
When a flare comes off the sun, it's an electromagnetic field. When it hits the Earth and is pulled into the poles,
yes.
it heats the core.
Okay.
And now, when every big solar cycle heats the core, now we are in a process, the core is heating. That's why the glaciers are melting. It's melting from the bottom up. If you look at, and you've had this on your program before.
Oh, I don't disagree with you at all. I think that you're exactly right, that the sun is a gigantic part of the process.
Right, but,
absolutely.
But it does not, the heat that we feel does not drive the weather systems. The same thing drives the weathers. When a flare hits the upper atmosphere, it ionizes it, heats it, sets
yes.
up a thermocline. Thermocline stabilizes the atmosphere. That's what causes your ozone holes. As the atmosphere in the higher atmosphere stabilizes, then your heavier atoms, such as oxygen, begin to precipitate out. The longer the cycle goes on, the more oxygen depletes out, and the lighter gases replace it. As the longer this this goes on, the denser or the higher the atmosphere expands out into space, that makes your pressure gradients greater. Your high pressures can build higher into the atmosphere, sets up your trade winds.
All right, here's one for you then.
Sure.
Answer this. If what you say is true, then why in previous solar maximums have we not had the same obvious climate change we're having now?
The angle of the burst are critical. Now, we're going through an alignment on May 5th. This is going to be the critical time on this planet. This is when you're going to get, when the Earth is going to get clocked. And quite frankly, you mentioned something I didn't catch last night about the solar winds stopping.
Oh, that's right.
That is an incredibly bad omen, because what you have, what that indicates is there is a mass crash in the core of the sun. A lot of neutrons fell into the surface of the sun. That increased the pull of the sun, which trapped your ionized gases that are being ejected. That means we're getting ready. The sun is getting ready to kick off a huge amount of electrons and protons and subatomic particles.
All right. As a matter of fact, I'm glad...
What I'd like to do, Art, is I'd like to give you my number and get in touch with me.
All right, email it to me.
Okay.
All right, email it to me. All right. As a matter of fact, I've got that story here. It's scientists study gap in solar stream. Researchers try to make sense of unusual hiatus of wind from sun. Some scientists call it the day the solar wind disappeared. Can you imagine that? The day the solar wind disappeared. It was back on May 11th, and they just now told us about it. The story came out December 13th. So all this time, they kept that news at NASA to themselves. You gotta wonder why.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
We've been traveling far without a home, not without a star.
Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
Music of the millennium. Stuff to remind you of what was, because boy, what's coming. By the way, Precious and Few was not the association, and it was not Bread. It was a group called Climax. Anybody remember that? My webmaster did. Shame on me. I played the thing a million times on the air. Brain is the first thing to go, or maybe not. I don't know. All right, let's see. I've got something that I've got to do. I know. I always do at the top of the hour, so let me take care of that, the business side of things, and we shall continue.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
All right, back to open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game this night. Tomorrow night, by the way, Robert Ghostwolf will be here, along with Danion Brinkley. And they are going to be telling you about a discovery that will rock your world. It's going to be somewhat non-specific, although there will be photographs of some of the artifacts that they have found. And I'm hesitant to say any more about it right now than what I just did. But they have found artifacts that will rock the Western world. That's tomorrow night, Robert Ghostwolf and Danion Brinkley. An unlikely pair, or maybe not, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Fine.
Okay. First of all, there was a song by Bread. It was called I Would Like to Make It With You.
That may be true.
That was about 1970 or 71.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But the question was Precious and Few.
Oh, no. I don't think that was them.
It was Climax.
Yeah. But second of all, I think you and your listeners have been taken on that soundtrack where they lowered the microphone down in that hellhole in Siberia.
Yes.
Or wherever.
Yes.
Just recently, my son and I were watching a late-night movie called 5 Million Miles to Earth. Mm. And there is a soundtrack piece in there that sounds so much like that recording that my son and I both said they took that clip, looped it, and kept playing it.
Hmm. Well, you never know.
You might want to check that out.
Well, I might. And, of course, I don't know where I'm going to get that movie. Maybe I can rent it. I'd be glad to compare the two, but I don't think so. And there was also a newspaper article. In fact, we had it on the webpage. A newspaper article with photographs of the particular scientist who was making the claims. So there's a lot more to it than that. Not that I necessarily think it's true. I mean, who knows? Who really knows if there's a hell? And if it's, you know, a hell, hell to me doesn't seem like it would be a physical place located within the bowels of the earth. But it could be. Hell seems more like a place in the ether. A dimension. Not something down inside the earth any more than heaven is up in the sky. Although, one of these newspaper racks that you see at the supermarket claim to have a picture of heaven. And they claim the Hubble telescope got it. And it showed this palatial place way out among the stars that they claimed was heaven. I don't think so. Any more than I really think there are screaming souls in the bowels of the earth. Nevertheless, if you were a scientist and you were drilling in Siberia, and you drilled an extremely deep hole, and you heard those voices, you'd probably pack your bags and go somewhere else. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
This is Lynn. I'm calling from Denver.
Lynn in Denver, yes.
Uh-huh. And I just wanted to tell you a couple things. You were talking about C.W. McCall a while ago.
Yes.
Do you know he's the mayor of a little town here in Colorado?
Is he really?
Yep, Ouray, Colorado. It's in the southwestern part of the state.
No kidding.
Uh-huh, he's been the mayor up there for, at least 7-8 years that I know of.
C.W. McCall, wasn't that a stage name or a...
Yes, it's not his real name.
Not his real name, yeah.
No, and I know his real name, too, and now I can't think of it.
That's all right.
But also, and was it a group called Bread that did that song, Precious and Few?
I don't think it was Bread.
It wasn't Bread.
Precious
okay.
and Few. Doggone it. Precious and Few. Now you've got me going again.
I'm sorry. And I was going to tell you that I have a police scanner.
Yes.
And I listen to it at night a lot.
Yes.
Before you come on.
Yes.
And I have heard nothing but a lot of elevator rescues lately on the fire.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Lots of them.
Lots of elevator rescues.
Yeah, at least like 4 or 5 or 6 of them a night.
You know, scanner listening on New Year's Eve.
Oh, that ought to be fun.
That ought to be worth the price of admission.
It should be. I can't wait.
So you're going to stay home?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going anywhere. New Year's Eve is not for the professionals. It's for amateurs.
I agree with you.
And I wanted to do one more thing, if I can.
You can.
I wanted to say hi to somebody.
Well, you're not supposed to, but if you say hi, there's not much I can do about it.
Okay, I wanted to say hi to Willie and Bobby and Gator and all the gang.
So it wasn't just like one person, it was a name.
Well, Willie Nelson and his gang.
Oh, that gang.
Willie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to have Willie back on again.
Yes, you do.
He's
I'm
really...
I'm the one who went to see him here in Denver up at Red Rocks.
Oh, yes.
Held up your sign.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
All righty. Talk to you later.
Take care. Yeah, Willie is a blast. Willie Nelson is a real person. You know, there are not all that many real people out there, but he's one of them. Boy, is he a real person. And he doesn't mind telling the real stories about his life. Most of us have led a very colorful life. Not many people are willing to give color commentary on it. Most of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Good evening. This is Sully up in Seattle.
Yes, sir.
I was in Tacoma back on the 23rd, happened to see ZZ Top.
Yes.
And they did play a song called Dread Mon Boogaloo. How do you like that one, Art? Ross sounded great on, you know, of course they had to run a tape. He wasn't there that night.
Coast to Coast AM, immortalized by ZZ Top.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Have you ever considered having him on the air or trying to get him on the air?
I bet they'd come on the air. It's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, they're down in Texas right now.
Are they?
That's where they're touring, and they'll end up in Houston on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I know they're on a serious tour right now. And what I found is, with groups, when they're on tour, the chances of getting them on the air are slim and none.
That's true.
You catch them in between gigs.
That is true, too. Well, they'll probably be off, sometime next year, you know.
Yep, I'd love to have them on.
Their tour ends New Year's Eve.
I'm very flattered by that song. That's really cool.
Maybe you could play that a little bit later tonight.
You know, I would really like to find out what Ross thinks of it. I wonder what... I've not yet asked Ross Mitchell what he thinks about it.
Yeah, because he did the intro into the show.
I know.
It was taped, and he did an intro and brought him on, basically announced him on stage.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
It was wild. Somewhere here I've actually got a mini disc with that on it. Hold on.
Sounds great. That's basically all I had to say, Art. Happy holidays to you and Ramona.
Well, thank you very much, and the very same to you. It should be a good holiday season. I'm hoping for a really good one.
You bet, Art.
Okay, take care.
All right, good night.
All right. What he's talking about, you may not have heard. It's pretty wild, actually. Let me see if I can get just a little piece of it here. I think that I can. This is ZZ Top, and they are on tour right now, as a matter of fact. Listen to the voice of the person introducing them.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Star Time. Are you ready for Star Time? It's a stunning and persuasive pleasure to present to you national and international norm, that little old band from Texas, the ZZ Tops.
That is the voice of Ross Mitchell. And then, actually, when you get to the song itself, you've got to get into it a little bit. It's a pretty wild song, I'm here to tell you. Somewhere down in here. Let me run it up a little bit here and see if we can get to it. They actually... Wait a minute. Let me go back a little bit here and see if we can get to it. That's the song he was talking about. That'll get you moving in the morning. Wait a minute here, it's coming up. Wild. Put your brain on notice. And right in the middle of all this, out of nowhere,
west of the Rockies, west of the Rockies, from a wild guard line,
That's Ross Mitchell. And there's more. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Yes, hello.
Art Bell Show?
Yes, that's true.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't believe it.
Try and believe it.
Really? We never get on the Art Bell at all. Never. Tried for a couple of years.
Now you're on.
Wow. Am I talking to Art Bell?
Yes, I'm the only one here.
You're the only one there?
Yes.
Well, you do sound different.
I know. Everybody says that.
Wow. You ever sound different? I'm calling from Ontario, Canada.
Have you, first of all, turn your radio off.
I will turn it off.
Okay. I will wait.
You're the only one there. Hold on. Oh, my goodness.
Got it off? What is this? Five controls to get it off or what?
Hello.
Yes.
Art Bell.
Yes.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Huh. Thank you.
I just thought I'd call you and congratulate you on your show.
Thank you.
I'm calling you from Newcastle, Ontario, Canada, but you sure sound a heck of a lot different on the air.
Well, it may be a lie. I may not be Art Bell.
You may not be Art Bell.
That's right.
Is that right, eh?
Yes. What we may actually have here is a staff of people who sound like Art Bell.
Is that right, eh?
Picking up calls, satisfying people who are calling, who otherwise never would get through, but
right.
Faking them out.
Well, I do like your Canadian joke tonight, Art Bell.
You heard that, huh?
I heard it, and you know, it's a real good one, and I appreciate you putting on the air.
Well,
we sure get our heck. We get loud and clear for being Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, I figured it was about time that I gave you Canadians a little something to chuckle about.
That's a good Christmas present, by the way. Can you tell me a little bit about this guy in New York that's been foul-mouthing you?
Curtis Sliwa. Curtis. Well, have you ever heard of Curtis Sliwa up there?
I've never. I just, by accident, I turned the radio the other night on the New York station. I was driving to work. I'm a donut baker. I make donuts. And I got a fax for you, by the way, if you can give me your fax later on.
Sure. It's Eric, Eric code 775.
775.
727.
775.
Well, that's area code 77.
Yeah.
Then the number is 727.
727.
8499.
8499.
Yep.
I'm going to send you some donuts.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a fax here too. I've got a fax.
You're going to fax me donuts?
Well, I could fax you a picture of it. I'll fax you a Starbucks joke that you may like.
All right.
I was listening the other night, and this idiot comes on the air, and. He was really bad-mouthed.
By idiot, you mean Curtis.
Yeah, I, you know, he was just fuming at the mouth. Said there was the first station you started with, apparently, and you didn't have the guts to go back on there and defend yourself.
What, was he saying that, really?
Yeah, he was saying you didn't have the guts to defend yourself, and he was going to go to one of your launchings, your book launchings, and he was going to make a public fool out of you.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he was saying. I've been trying to get a hold of you to let you know this.
You mean he's going to go, for example, to the Today Show? We're going to do the Today Show.
Apparently he was going to...
And he's going to hold up signs calling me the Antichrist? And he's going to make a fool out of me?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. You know, I get your newsletter, and here in Canada we get a lot of the stuff that's been recycled, like a year or 2 years down the road, And you know, it's nice to hear a live program once in a while, especially when I'm making donuts every night. I put it on and I hear you.
Well, you know, people are able to judge things for themselves, and they will see me, and then they will see Curtis and his berated bunch holding up signs calling me the Antichrist, and they'll make their own judgments about who is the idiot.
Well, I think so myself, because a lot of things that you air on the air is actually a lot of truth there, and... You know, it's refreshing to hear somebody in the States that actually can come on the air and say exactly what's going on around the world, not only in the States, but around the world.
Well, that's easy to do if you don't give a damn. That's basically me. I don't give a damn. I say what I want. If I get in trouble, who cares?
Well, Art, I'll tell you, we certainly love you up here in Canada, and, you know, I listen to you on the St. Catherine station. I don't know if you know I think it's 6:10 a.m.
Yes, sir.
And we have a 640 in Toronto that we pick you up sometimes. But every night, faithfully, for the last 3 years, I've been listening to you while I'm making donuts.
Well, fax me a donut.
I will definitely fax you donuts, and I'll fax you the Starbucks joke.
All right.
And if there was a way to get you donuts, we'd send you the best donuts in the world.
I appreciate that, my friend, but it would be, I think they'd be more like Frisbees by the time they actually got here. But I'll look at the facts and judge your donut. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing, oh, well, I'm doing.
Well, thank you. My name is Sean. I'm calling from Southern Colorado. I'm a police officer working graveyard.
Yes, sir.
And wanted to thank you for a great show.
Sure.
And I wanted to also say to my fellow brothers in blue, good luck New Year's Eve. I'm working, too.
You too, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Has there actually been a directive indicating that everybody's got to be on duty?
My particular department, no. They seem to be taking a... actually a pretty laid-back approach, which I don't understand. I've tried to talk to them about it, but they don't want to hear what I have to say, so we'll just experience this on our own. I know for a fact, though, that other departments are indeed taking it very seriously, and I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, quite a few. Well, maybe it's that your area, they don't really expect a whole lot of trouble in your area. What do you think?
I actually feel very fortunate to be working in this area. We are pretty much rural, I think, which is a benefit. I can't imagine being a cop in a big city where, you know, it's just inner city apartment type places. That I think it's going to be really rough.
Mm-hmm. I would tend to agree with you. And as I said earlier, I'm a lot more concerned about people than I am machines.
Yes, indeed. Me too. Me too.
All right. Well, listen, I hope that you will call during that show. I'm going to be on like 3 hours early on New Year's Eve. And do an 8-hour radio program. That'll be, I think, my record.
I'll sure try to get through.
Look forward to it.
We'll let you know how small town America is doing anyway.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Art.
All right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we'll do that. Now, in the first 3 hours of the program, we're going to intersperse that with Gordon Michael Scallion. He does not frequently come on the radio, and he has been invited by major networks and all kinds of people to come on the air New Year's Eve, but he has chosen to come on this program to do his predictions for the millennium, for what lies directly ahead. And I wonder what Gordon's going to have to say, don't you? It's been a while. And so he'll be the only guest, and he will be here for 3 hours, from 7 to 10 o'clock, our normal start time. At 10 o'clock, we'll begin to take calls. Actually, we'll do that even earlier, but mostly at 10, we'll begin to take calls and find out what's really going on out there. And if you are a police officer, a fireman, a city official of some kind, we're going to be inquiring how it's going. And so it'll be kind of a as-it-happens, by the seat of your pants. Well, that's the way I do my radio anyway kind of affair. So that'll be New Year's Eve, folks. Now, quickly, who sang this one? Don't fax me. Say it now.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
Everyone knows.
Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. So rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. When the wind blows.
nimble, Jack be quick. Jack jumps over the candlestick. He jumped so high up above, he landed in the cradle of love. Well, rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. So rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows. Hi-diddle-diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumps over the moon. And on her way down, she met a turtle dove, said, let's go rockin'.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
Believe me, you listen to this song, it'll start going around and around in your mind. Just something about it.
When the wind blows.
Good morning. Now, here's somebody with an interesting fact. Dear Mr. Bell, our banks have convinced us they are Y2K ready. But what about our checkbooks? Ooh. What should we all do about the 19, the 1-9, on all of our checks? What do we do? Cross it out? What do you recommend? I don't have the slightest idea. He's right. I looked at my checkbook. It says 1-9. And you fill in the blanks, right? Wow. Our checkbooks are not Y2K ready. You suppose the banks are going to send us new checks? They don't barely have time to do it. I assume the checks will still be good, right? I would certainly hope so. Anyway, there you have it. Checkbooks, not Y2K compliant. I never thought about that.
Now we take you back to the night of December 15th, 1999, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Here's another example of my probably getting in trouble, but here's a story from Associated Press entitled, NASA Hopes to Spot Lander Parachute. Now, let's think about this a bit. Dateline San Francisco. NASA researchers are hoping the powerful camera aboard the Mars Global Surveyor will capture images showing them whether the Mars polar lander made it to the red planet. Mission controllers are going to aim the camera toward the lander's intended touchdown area on Thursday. Mission controllers say they do not expect to see the lander itself, but there is, they say, a good chance they might be able to see the parachute if it's spread out on the surface. Well, let's consider that fine. They'll use the global surveyor to look for the parachute. But now let's think about this a little bit, shall we? This is the same surveyor that was unable to spot gigantic things on Mars, like Cydonia, in any detail, right? Isn't that the same one? The lander is pretty small and the parachute is pretty small, right? But yet, they think they can see it. And they can't see things a mile big, like the face, the ruins, the runway, the domes, all of those things that we wanted in good detail, and yet they're going to see a parachute? Come on, NASA. Own up. Something is rotten in Houston or wherever. Pasadena. I don't know. I sort of don't buy that. We got catbox photos of Cydonia, you may recall. I mean, really horrible, horrible pictures. And they're going to find a parachute on the ground on Mars? I sure would like to interview Mr. Malin. I really would. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Marcia in Fort Smith, Arkansas, listening on KWHN 1320.
That's the way to do it.
Thank you. First, I want to apologize for the way I'm talking. Tuesday, I had 13 teeth pulled and an upper denture put in.
Oh, my God. 13 teeth all at once, huh?
Yeah.
Actually, if you're going to do it, that's really the best way to have it done.
Oh, I tell you what, I've got a super dentist, and I'm really pleased with the way I'm coming along. But the reason I called is to tell you, I don't know about my bank, but my checkbook is Y2K ready.
You're kidding.
No. We just have the word date and a line. There's no 19.
No 19?
No.
Mine still has a 19.
Well, like I said, I don't know about the bank, but my checkbook's ready.
Well, that's really interesting. Has it always been that way, or that is that on the brand new checks you just got?
This is on checks we got about 4 or 5 months ago.
Hmm. Well, at least some are ready.
Right. I thought I'd pass that one on to you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
We're still getting ready with everything else, though.
Yeah, good for you.
Okay.
All right, take care. Hmm. Now, mine still says 19. And they're really right. What do you do? Just cross it out? Of course you can do that. Really, you can write a... I'm told you can write a check on anything, literally. Toilet paper, a napkin. And they're supposed to honor it, but they don't really do that. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. I was once razzing Bob Crane. You know Bob Crane, he's a good friend. And I called him and talked to one of his employees, and I said I wanted a pink radio. It's a long story, and I really tortured them. And they were going to actually paint a radio pink for me. However, Bob sent me a check, and he sent me a pink check. And I thought, well, okay, you're supposed to be able to cash anything, right? So I took it into the bank, and the bank said, no way. We don't cash pink checks. We don't allow pink checks to be deposited. So that may be an old wives' tale about being able to write a check on anything. I don't think so. They won't take a pink check. They're not going to take one scrawled on a banana. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Okay.
This is Sean calling from Buffalo, New York.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was talking about, you guys were earlier talking about the lake level at Lake Erie.
Yes.
They had a thing in the... in the Buffalo News here, saying that that's called a sesh. That's what it's called, is a sesh. It's what it happens when you get constant winds across the lake.
And it actually pushes it a couple of feet higher on one side than the other?
Right. Actually, Toledo, according to the article here, the lake water in Toledo, Ohio, is actually 5 feet deeper than it is Buffalo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
They got a picture of it where we have a road that goes along the lake there, and there's probably water like right up to the breakwall lake, and they got a picture of it where you can see all the stones and everything that would normally be, you know, underwater.
Well, if we begin to get really serious, more serious winds, as if we need them, I wonder how big the sesh would begin to get.
I've lived here all my life, and I've never seen anything like it. They said this is the Lake Erie. This is the worst it's been since the drought in the 1930s.
Well, I've always been a weather watcher, and I have, in all of my life, never seen the kind of winds that we're having globally now. Europe, Australia, North America. Earlier today, the Northwest got slammed again.
Yeah.
The Upper Midwest, where you are, getting slammed. New Hampshire. Massachusetts getting slammed. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, the weather is so weird. I mean, normally, we're known for our snow. Well, we haven't had any snow this year yet.
Yep.
None.
I know.
And I guess we're expecting some tomorrow, finally. But another thing, too, about Lake Erie is when I was a kid, they used to have ice races out there with snowmobiles and stuff like that.
Right.
And for the last 4 years, the lake hasn't frozen over to where you can even walk on it. It's been so warm.
I hope everybody's listening to this.
It's really interesting.
I appreciate it, sir.
Okay, Art, good talking to you.
Take care. I really hope you all are listening. It's one of those things that you've got to sort of cumulatively notice. And it's getting harder and harder to ignore. And I would think that even for mainstream science, you'll soon hear them begin to issue, well, they are now already beginning to issue warnings. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Hi, this is Chad from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yes, sir.
I'm listening to you on 570 KTOC.
Right.
I was just wondering, did you hear about the tornado we had up here in Salt Lake?
Oh, yes. Unless you're talking about one since. It seems to me it was about 6 or 7 months ago.
Yes, it was back in, like, I think it was July or August.
Yeah, I saw the video of it, sure.
Yeah, and then speaking of, you know, weird weather, that's kind of rare for up here, you know, because we're surrounded by mountains and everything.
Yes, very rare. They said not impossible. It has occurred,
yes.
But it's extremely rare.
Yes, but it is increasing more and more each year.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to be having more that, in fact, do touch down and last. For
it's going to get more violent, sir, every year.
Yes.
More violent.
Also, too, I was reading an article somewhere that there's increasing volcanic activity, like in Mount Fuji and Mount Vesuvius.
So I've heard.
Yep. I can't remember.
Actually, Gordon Michael Scallion, who will be here on New Year's Eve, said to watch Vesuvius. It will be one of the indicators. All right, last book plug, folks. I guess I can't resist. The Coming Global Superstorm is the brand new book by myself and Whitley Strieber. It is a drama, it's fiction, but it is researched fiction that I'm afraid we're living out at the moment. Are we having precursor events to what is described in the book? I am afraid perhaps so. Will it happen soon? Perhaps so. Are the ocean currents changing? Yes. Is our weather changing? Yes. Is it going to culminate in what is described in this book? Maybe. Very possibly. There are several ways you can get the book. One is in any bookstore just about in America right now. Another is at Amazon.com, where they give you a big discount. Just absolutely amazing. Again, it brings up the topic of I don't know how these bookstores are going to survive. I really don't. Talking to Keith a little earlier, and he said there's a big debate going on about that right now. They're not taxing the Internet, and they're not going to, and I'm certainly in favor of that. But how does the retail outlet survive? When you can go and get a 30% off, that's serious discount, right, at Amazon? How in the world would one expect a retail outlet with a store and employees and benefits and all of that to survive? The answer might be, ultimately, they will not, any more than outdoor theaters have survived. Oh, yes, there are a few, but not many. You would have to drive perhaps hundreds of miles to get to one. And I wonder if one day you're going to have to drive hundreds of miles to get to a bookstore. Don't know. Anyway, there is one other way you can get it, and that way will expire at the end of the day today. Period. We're already over what we said we were going to do, so I'm telling you right now, at the end of the day today, the offer for a signed book is gone, done. So, last time, I'll give it this plug. The number is 1-800-864-7991. Now, I am getting gazillions of complaints that people cannot get through. If you want to try here in the middle of the night to get through, go ahead and try. You might. Otherwise, they will have a larger staff during the day. And then at the end of the day, today, it's going to be over. No more signed copies, unless you're in Manhattan and happen to attend our book signing there, the one that I'm going to do. So, again, the number is 1-800-864-7991, and there you can get an autographed copy of my book. Otherwise, Amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. On the international line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, howdy.
Howdy.
Art Bell.
Yes, indeed.
How are you doing? My name is Byron. I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yes, sir.
wanted to say you put on an extremely interesting show, especially your interviews with Dr. Jonathan Reed.
Oh, yes.
Pretty spooky stuff.
Yep.
I just wanted to say on your website, I've noticed in your list of future guests.
Yes.
When it comes up to January, I don't know if it was the computer I'm on or what, but the date shows up as 1900.
Oh, it's got to be your computer.
Oh, could be it.
Our website is thoroughly Y2K compliant.
Oh, okay. And I just thought I'd let you know, too.
Keith has told me, 100% guaranteed.
Oh, okay. You hope.
Well, yeah.
I just wanted to let you know up here in Canada that the...
Keith is also going to be going into a concrete bunker in Mesa.
Oh.
And anyway, I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
Well, that's okay. I just wanted to let you know, too, up here in Canada, the Canadian military, the RCMP, and the city police, where I am certainly, and various other organizations, their leave is all canceled over the New Year.
So I've heard. What are they going to be doing?
Well, you know, they say, of course, too, nothing's going to happen, or they don't expect anything to happen, but just in case, we've got, you know, emergency generators, and we've got everybody all geared up, all our riot squads geared up, and whatever.
Mm. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think there's more of a threat of people taking advantage of the situation. You know, hackers and anarchists and whatever. People just, like I say, just maybe going a little crazy.
Well, you know, that's why I said I'm really more frightened of people.
Yeah.
You know, than I am of machines.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, just how many systems are going to go down. You just don't know. That's the problem. But the fact is everybody from the government on, from our federal government on down, and the same in the states, is saying we don't anticipate a problem, but just in case, we've loaded up on emergency supplies and everything else. So, you know, you're kind of in between a rock and a hard place as to what to believe, really. So, you know, that's just the thing you have to do, is be prudent and have some water storage and food and whatnot available if things do.
And that's what you're doing? You're going to store some water?
Yeah, you bet. I've got about 200 liters of filtered water, about 100 liters of gasoline, and a bunch of canned goods. And
you'd be careful with that gasoline.
Well, yeah, it's stored in a shed out back, and it's locked, so.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. I just read a story about a fellow who decided he would store propane in a tank in his basement, and there was a leak, and it blew the house all to hell and back, and along with him. You know, if gas builds up in a restricted area, and then there is a spark, like from a heater or something, kaboom. So that's something else that people have to worry about. Be very, very, very careful with the storage of fuel. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art. This is Keith in Kansas City on KCMO.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know how they all talk about that the Army and stuff has these UFOs flying around and all that?
Yes.
If they had that technology, why didn't they go over and beam up Saddam Hussein and all those other guys? And why
well,
we have to
I'll give you an argument for that.
Okay.
If they wanted Saddam Hussein dead, he'd have been dead a long time ago.
Right.
That's my argument.
What about the other guy? But why go to war and kill all the Americans? Why not just, you know, beam him up, change his brains around to where he does what we want, and then send him back?
Mind control.
Yeah.
Because we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah. If you believe that, I'll sell you some land.
what I do believe is that we don't want Saddam gone. We want him there.
Right.
And we actually fear that if he's gone, somebody even worse will replace him.
But if we had that technology, we could go anywhere in the world and own. I mean, talk about deterrent. They talk about nuclear powers and stuff, but heck, if I had a machine that I could ride around, go in and out of the atmosphere, in and out of sight, beam people up, you'd be in total control.
Well, it's true.
So I don't know. I just don't think the Army has that much smarts yet or something.
Maybe not.
Anyway, you have a great Christmas.
Okay, you too.
Talk to you later.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Is this Art Bell Show?
Yes.
I'm doing good here, ain't I?
Yes.
Is this Art Bell?
It is.
I can understand why everybody gets excited when they get on here.
Where are you?
I'm in Kansas.
Okay.
My question is, you got a caller on earlier, and he was talking about, my radio was pretty scratchy, so I'm not sure exactly what it was, but something about Graves and a minister.
No, Graves.
Graves.
Graves, you know the Graves?
No, you need. What I'm asking you to do is just kind of give me some information about that.
The extra,
brief summary.
The
like.
Extraterrestrials. They call them the Grays. And he went to his minister and he asked about the Grays.
Mm-hmm.
And the minister said, "How did you know about that?"
Mm-hmm.
And it freaked him out, and it would me too.
Hmm.
So I said, "Have your minister call me.
Hmm.
I want to talk to that fellow."
Hmm.
It's as though he knows all about the Grays, and he wanted to know how this fellow knew.
Hmm.
Like it was a big secret in the church, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
So you follow me now?
I do follow you now.
All right, good. I've got a break here at the top of the hour. We will be right back in some markets.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999. Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 15, 1999.
Good morning, everybody. Isn't it going to be strange? I mean, we're only a few days from the change, the thousand-year change. Whatever it's going to bring, it's coming on. And we're all going to meet it, or most of us anyway. Are you looking forward to it, dreading it? How do you feel about it? A lot of people with a lot of different emotions out there. I understand that.
What? Now we take you back to the night of December 15th, 1999, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
I sit on Amazon.com right now looking at my book, and they even have a thing here you can click on if you have a computer. It says, need this by December 24th? Select second day or next day air. So you can select the way you want it sent. You can get it by Christmas. And they give you a 30% discount. That really got me thinking tonight about what's going to happen to bookstores. What's going to happen to retailers? What's going to happen to mail order companies? You know, the ones that send out catalogs? Kind of like Seagrain. If you can do it, maybe they will make the shift and they'll all move to the web. And maybe catalogs eventually will be a thing of the past. And all your shopping will be on the web. And your arms will hang slack at your side. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, let me kill the radio.
All right.
I just got a couple of questions real quick.
Sure.
This is Steve, and I'm in Phoenix, KFYI Radio.
Yes, sir.
How many other radio or nations do you know of that are going to meet Y2K or the new year with the Gophers? I mean, what's Europe doing? What's Russia doing? China, et cetera?
You're talking about diving into the bunkers?
Right.
I doubt that America is one of the only places, and maybe Canada, where that kind of information would even get out.
Well, aren't there a lot of free countries in Northern Europe that have bunkers for every citizen that they're free countries that information would be released? Because it seems to me that only North America seems to be diving in the bunkers and only the government's allowed in.
Well, Britain, for example, does not allow news of this kind to be broadcast. Did you know that?
No, I wasn't aware what their regulations were. I know
they don't have the same kind of Bill of Rights and Constitution we do.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that.
I was just curious, you know, with the Tet Offensive and China's habit of attacking around New Year's Eve, that it was kind of interesting that all our government's going deep underground. The second thing is, could you give a message to Richard Hoagland? and ask him why he's so wrapped up in the conspiracy and seems to have turned his back on the actual technology that he's uncovered.
I don't think he has. I think that Richard would be the first to tell you that he thinks most of NASA is straight up, and they're good people, hard workers, but he thinks at the very top there is a cabal.
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to say is that
Who cares? And you should care, too. And maybe you can answer this question for me. The Mars Global Surveyor took terrible, terrible pictures of the face on Mars, which is gigantic, right?
I've seen them. They were terrible.
Yeah, terrible. And now they're saying the Mars Global Surveyor, they're going to use it on Thursday, today, to try and find the parachute of the probe that just either crashed or whatever on Mars. Now, how could they possibly resolve something that small and yet not be able to get something that big? I can't buy it.
I was thinking the same thing when you asked the question earlier, but the only thing I think of is maybe the colored parachutes or something. The contrast in the photo. I don't know. But I think my point was is we don't care if there's a conspiracy. If we can get the technology off from under the conspiracy, I think that's more important. Why don't we have 100 scientists dissecting this new physics and applying it to every aspect of our current physics?
Well, all right, I'll pass that on to Richard, but I think that is a question that Richard has been asking. Why don't we break this technology out and get it out in the open? That's exactly what he's really been saying. Again, NASA hopes to actually spot the parachute for the failed satellite, actually probe, that we sent down. And that would be a little bitty thing. How could they do that? And yet miss the great big things, the mile-wide things, or get such poor resolution on them. I'm very suspicious. International Line, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Art Bell.
Yes.
Yeah, howdy. It's Peter calling from Alberta, Canada.
Hi, Peter. We've got an echo. Let me get rid of that. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, howdy. I was just wondering, have you come across information on the net here? It's an Air Force document, U.S. Air Force document, called Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2025?
Yep.
You have, eh?
Yeah, they say they will own the weather in 2025. That's an actual claim made on an official Air Force website. They will own the weather.
That's pretty scary, eh?
Well, it is, and an equally scary prospect is the weather will own them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, with your book and the information in that, sure sounds like it.
Mm.
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to check with you. And
no, it is true. That is not urban legend. That is a true story.
Right on. And I just wanted to say you've got a great show. Very interesting.
Thank you.
Okay,
certainly very different. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, Art, two quick questions.
Sure.
How is Father Malachi Martin?
He passed away, sir.
Ooh, I'm sorry to hear that. Secondly, I was up in east of your area going through Hawthorne, Nevada, and it was an undersea demolition school there in the middle of a ammo storage facility.
Really?
Yeah. And since you're into this, I was, you know...
Undersea, huh?
Yeah, by Williams Lake there.
Well, maybe there's secret frogmen underneath me right now. We've got the second largest aquifer in the U.S. beneath my feet, and... maybe there's guys down there.
Yeah, because when I was a truck driver, I used to deliver dummy rounds up to the Navajo just west of Flagstaff Army Depot. And when I went through California, I mean through Nevada for a death in the family, and up by Sacramento, we came through Hawthorne, and it was a submarine warfare base. Not really a base, but something like that facility, and it was in the middle of this Hawthorne Army Depot. And I was like trying to put two and two together like with your show's format, and that sounds really scary.
Well, Nevada is a pretty strange place, to be honest with you, and there are a lot of things going on here that are hard to explain. There are sounds and kabooms and vibrations in the ground and all kinds of things that go on in Nevada that you have to wonder about. Things that you see in the sky. It's a very unusual place. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Is Art Bell?
Yes, it is. Turn your radio off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
What I was calling about, I'm a Christian, and you had a guy on earlier talking about UFOs.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something. I believe if you look in Ezekiel where...
A wheel within a wheel.
Wheel within a wheel.
Yep, yep, yep.
You know, angels got to get around. Just because we look at...
God. Why would an angel, an ethereal being, need a machine to navigate at all?
But we're looking at it in a worldly view because that's how we have to get around.
But that's our failing.
Right. But God was here before us.
God does not need a chariot.
No, he doesn't.
And I don't think the angels do either.
You really don't?
No.
They don't know
where they want to go.
They do, but you look at all the little things that are happening around. Maybe the demons...
Put it to you this way. If they don't, I'm really disappointed. I mean, if angels can't motivate... If they actually need piston engines with...
I'm not saying piston engines now.
Burning fossil fuel.
Way beyond that.
Well, even anti-gravity technology, I expect more out of an angel.
Well, it'd be nice, but it's one way to look at it. I mean... It's right there in Ezekiel where he was visited by him. So you're like,
well, that's
what's the will upon the will, then?
Yeah, that's one way to look at it, I suppose. But I don't think that it was designated or said to be any sort of transportation for the angels. It was seen, the wheel within the wheel, whatever you think that means. But I don't think it was transport. Not for angels. Angels are able to instantly think where they want to be and be there. That's my concept of an angel. An angel does not need a machine. Maybe the most an angel would have to do is like Samantha, wiggle her nose. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Is this our bell?
Yes, turn off your radio.
Okay.
And
how you doing? This is Chad from Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was calling to make a few comments. One, you had said that you were more afraid of the people than you were what was going to happen for Y2K.
That's right.
I more than agree. My wife and I had talked about going to New Orleans or New York for the year 2000, and it scares me to death. I'm afraid of what somebody is going to do, not something.
Yep.
People are crazy this day and time. Really, the biggest question that I had for you, I'm an over-the-road truck driver. I'm actually driving through Chicago now trying to pull off the side of the road.
Oh, my.
I have a hard time picking you up in a lot of different places. I'm wondering if you know of any radios or anything that can be carried along with you that are typically pick up AM better than most?
Yes. If you could find a way, the CC radio is probably the most sensitive selective radio in the world, and if you could find a way to combine your outside truck antenna to the terminals of the CC radio, I would imagine you would have an incredible ability to hear distant stations.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, and take care. Until he stopped his truck. A lot of truckers out there. You know, we actually have more truckers listening to this program than to the specific networks which are aimed at the truckers. It's amazing. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
It's Nectar, and I'm up in Alaska.
Nectar in Alaska?
Yep, at your old station up here in Anchorage.
KENI.
Yeah. I was thinking about what you were talking about when all the government officials are going to be under the ground and so-and-so and dot-de-dot and What a way to get rid of them, huh? I mean,
you mean like
to say?
Once they're down there. You know, that's a thought. Once they're down there, find the big steel concrete door and lock the damn thing.
Or a big rock falls in the earthquake, you know, they get all stuck. I don't want to dig them out. I'm sorry, you know, that's not my real name, so just so that they don't trace this call. But, you know, nobody addressed it that way.
You mean you made up the name Nectar?
Yeah, because I don't want to be smart, and what if I have the right idea that happens?
I didn't think anybody was really named Nectar, but it's a good name.
Thanks. Okay, we'll see you later.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Nectar. Have you ever heard of anybody called Nectar? That's actually not a bad name, really. Yeah, I'm giving that a lot of thought. I mean, even in fairly remote places, they're going underground, the officials, the military, the police, the politicians, they're going underground. Maybe it's a good idea. Find out where their door is and put a big lock on the outside. Then you'll have a better world. What's for the Rockies? You're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
My coworker said that he had heard earlier that there's Los Angeles, I believe, people are in the bunkers or something.
Turn your radio off, please.
Oh.
In Los Angeles, as a matter of fact, yes, they have an underground bunker where officials will be going on New Year's Eve to observe what occurs and, if necessary, to direct emergency services and law enforcement.
Now, isn't that kind of interesting with it being an earthquake capital that they decide to go underground there?
Well, actually, if there was an earthquake, the last place I'd want to be would be underground.
Exactly my point. Now, apparently there was somebody from Alaska that called and said, close the door.
Well,
on them. Could we invite Clinton first?
I wonder where he's going to be.
Probably, maybe NORAD in the Cheyenne Mountain.
I've heard a rumor that the president is going to address the nation 10 minutes before midnight on New Year's Eve. Now, that may be just a rumor.
Well, but he doesn't have to be in the White House.
I wonder what he's going to say.
Y'all be careful now.
Y'all be careful now. That probably is what he'd say. All right. Thank you very much. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art. Calling from New York, listening on WPHT out of Philadelphia.
Yes, sir. The last refuge for the last hour.
Oh, you better believe it. You know, thinking about the frogmen swimming around under your house, I think twice the next time you sit on the toilet bowl. I mean, that's a frightening thought.
It is.
Was Jim Keefe the conspiracy theorist one of your guests, or was he a Hilly Rose guest?
Probably Hilly, because it doesn't strike a bell.
Because I just picked up the January 2000 issue of Fate magazine, and they mentioned that he died at a freak accident at the 1999 Burning Man Festival.
I heard something about that.
That's an interesting way for a conspiracy theorist to go in a freak accident.
It is, isn't it?
You know, there's something else I wanted to talk to you about very briefly. When Dr. Jonathan Reed was on
yes.
the December 9th program,
oh, yes.
I record most of your program on Real Talk.
Right. And
when I got to that part of the program, it was just before the 5 p.m. Eastern time break. A strange thing happened just when he started describing the shooting incident.
Yes.
The program material became discontinuous. It's difficult to explain. It wasn't a breakdown of the signal or anything like that. But that part of the program ended, and a new program began. Now, this was at the end of my recording tape, so it's unlikely that... was there any network problem that night?
No.
And no one made any mention? Well, I guess it must have been a fault with my Real Talk then.
Could be. No, I have had no other reports, and believe me, if there had been a problem right there, I would have never heard the end of it.
Well, that was... I woke up, I heard the last hour of that show on PHT Live, and I was very curious. I was unable to hear anything more about that shooting incident.
Well, it was described in great detail. Your best bet now, if you have a computer, would be, you know, go listen to it on your computer.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to try to get the archive from broadcast.com.
There you go.
You know, one interesting thing about Jim Keefe, this was his last article he wrote before he died, and it's about Roswell. And his idea was that possibly the Roswell incident was an accidental drop of an A-bomb that did not explode. It's a very interesting article. Hopefully you'll have a chance to read it.
Well, that certainly would have produced roughly the results, you know, and the classification that would still have it hidden from us. That's an interesting speculation. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Art.
Take care. Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Art, how are you?
Okay.
Stephen from 2 hours northeast of Toronto.
Okay.
Ontario. Hey, I'm a fairly new listener. I was just wondering, have you ever had retired Colonel Philip J. Corso on the air?
Oh, yes. I had more radio hours of interview of Colonel Corso than any U.S. broadcaster, or any broadcaster in the world, for that matter.
Can you ever just get enough of that guy? Like, I just read The Day After Roswell. That
right.
book has got to be definitive.
If you go, it is. If you go back into the archives, if you have a computer, you can listen to the programs I did with Colonel Corso.
Excellent. A couple years back?
About a year and a half, 2 years, yeah.
Okay.
Right in there.
Art, good luck in the new year.
Thank you, and the very same to you, sir. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
Hey, this is Tony out of Jack's Creek, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't know if you've seen this article. We got a new little article come out about Olivia Newton-John.
Oh?
She says, I believe in UFOs. It's just a little short article. I'll read it to you.
Really?
Yeah, it says, Olivia Newton-John says she believes in UFOs because she saw one. The 48-year-old Greece star reveals that she was driving across the Australian desert when I was completely stunned by what I saw. It was brilliant silver and yet seemed to glow from time to time with a halo of different colors. This thing also went at tremendous speed, and it was moving about unlike anything else I'd ever seen. It was triangular to start with.
Maybe I should be interviewing her, huh?
Yeah, it says it was triangle to start with, and then it turned into a ball when it went back to its original form.
Well, let me tell you a little secret.
Mm.
I once got to kiss Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, you lucky guy.
Ha, 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 ha.
And she says, once upon in the air about the existence of UFOs and down-to-earth singer now declares, I'm obviously convinced that there's something very strange happening in our sky.
All right, Olivia Newton-John, I need to interview you. Thank you, sir, for that that story. Grease was a great movie, wasn't it? So Olivia's now a believer.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
Pretty blue eyes. All the guys from the neighborhood keep saying you sure look good with your blue eyes.
Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 15th, 1999.
Ah, yes. Ah, Greece. Olivia Newton-John. It was a great movie, and she is a great lady, and apparently now she believes. Interesting. I really did. That was the highlight of my life years and years ago. I got to kiss her once. It was at a record company party, promotional party. I wonder if she would. She'd never remember, I guess. It was in, where was that? I think it was in Monterey. Yep, Monterey. And I was so shocked. Her eyes were so blue. She was so pretty. And I got to kiss her. It was unbelievable. But it was all for a record promotion. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Listen, I just wanted to ask you a question. I was remembering your show that when you said that you had the out-of-body experience.
Yes.
And I just want to ask you two questions.
All right.
One, what do you remember of any physical sensations that you had? And two, how did you feel when you woke up?
Okay, I'll answer both. Number one, there were no physical sensations, none whatsoever. It was completely devoid of any physical sensation whatsoever. It was impossible to describe to you the feeling. It was very quick, and I was completely out of my body. I didn't have a second thought for my body, and I was in a state of extreme ecstasy. There's really no, and that's insufficient to describe what I felt. I really still have not, haven't come up with words to describe it. Secondly, I wouldn't call it waking up. I wasn't asleep. I just slammed back into my body because I was so shocked about what happened. And I was extremely excited about what had just happened. But to answer your question, no physical sensation whatsoever. It was entirely beyond the physical. I don't know if that really does justice to any of that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. That Gordon Bell person?
Gordon Bell?
Gordon Michael Scallion?
Gordon Michael Scallion, yes.
Yes, he said that New Hampshire was the safest place to move.
Well, that's where he lives.
That's where he lives.
Yes.
Okay, I heard wrong.
Well, he may believe that. We'll ask him.
Well, okay, and then because my mom, she kind of drew up her own little map thing, and she came up that Alaska would be one of the safer places to live because the land masses would grow.
Right.
And stuff like that. So can you ask him that, too?
I certainly will.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care. I don't know about Alaska. What we're going to do on New Year's Eve is devote 30 minutes or 30-minute segments, 3 hours of 30-minute segments to different aspects of what's coming in the new millennium. Gordon Michael Scallion is one of our nation's premier intuitives, and he's really quite a guy. We have a lot in common. We're both ham operators, and we just have a lot in common, and a lot not in common, because I am certainly not a prophet. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to talk to you, Art. This is Sherry in Phoenix.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine.
Gosh, it's been a while since I've been able to call you. It's always a pleasure to listen to you. And I wanted to mention to you, I talked with you briefly one other time about my brother who did special effects on the Entity. He is in process right now of putting one of his Tesla coils in Germany. He has tried to reach it by fax. It was about 2 years ago. However, he prefaced his letter by saying he's unable to listen to your show. So I could see why you would not want to reply to him.
Well, if he can get on the Internet, he can listen.
He is asleep. He must be for his job during the hours that you're on. He's up at about 3:30 getting ready for work and leaving.
I see.
Yeah, so it's impossible.
Well, in Germany, we would be on during the day.
He is not in Germany as yet. He is working on the Tesla coil here.
Oh, I see. Well, when he does get to Germany, he'll be able to listen to us during the day.
Yes, he will. And I'm hoping to send you some information, and I will mark it in an envelope on the outside. I will use a name that you will remember and understand.
Okay.
And I did watch The Stand again tonight on TV. Did you know, by the way, that Mars is being shown, or some planet, as having things rising from the crust, grabbing upward on the science fiction channel for their logo now?
Really?
I thought that was rather interesting in advance notice.
coming up from under the surface of Mars and grabbing little probes.
Yeah, could be anything.
Right.
Anyway, it was a pleasure to talk to you, my dear. Have a blessed Christmas.
Yeah, thank you, and the very same to you. Yeah, here come the holidays again. Now, traditionally, we have done, and will again this year, predictions for the next year. And, of course, we will go to the Bell Family Vault and retrieve the predictions made last year and review their accuracy. Actually, my audience did rather well in the previous year, so I have high hopes. International Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
Fine.
I'm phoning from Alberta, Canada. This is a first-time caller.
Yes, sir.
I was just phoning in regards to your Superstorm book. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But I'm wondering if you've ever looked at I'm sort of tongue-tied here, sorry. I think one of the things that may be causing some of the earthquakes and lots of the different things that are happening globally now is the oil companies. I don't know if your book has looked at that or not, but...
Well, you're talking about geophysical things. You're talking about pumping oil from the ground and that causing earthquakes and so forth and so on.
Yeah, taking it over.
That's a different story than my book.
It is, eh?
Yes.
I don't know if it has any merit or not, but I think that they're taking out all this oil, and it has to have a purpose under that surface, either to keep the earth cool or to keep it from vibrating or something. I think it has some sort of a function besides just being a fossil
fuel. Well, think of it this way, sir. If we eventually take enough of it out, and there needs to be some sort of balance returned to earth, then you and I and all of us may be the future fossil fuel.
Well, we probably will be the fuel of the future, because I don't think the oil companies are doing us any type of justice by doing what they're doing.
Well, I don't know. That's one way to look at it. The other is we have yet to develop economically viable alternative energy sources, and without oil, we'd be going nowhere.
Now we take you back to the night of December 15th, 1999, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
First time caller line, you are upon the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Matt. How you doing?
Fine.
Hey, first time caller. I listen on KTRH 740 in Houston.
Houston, yes, sir.
Yeah. But hey, I've got a comment, a question for you. You had a caller on the air who described essentially your book kind of like in an abridged format.
Yes.
And he seemed very credible. I myself am a geophysicist or scientist type person.
Mm-hmm.
I studied it in college, and the guy seemed pretty credible. But what was interesting to me is, some of the stuff he was describing, is it possible that the lack of the solar wind is actually the beginning of a process?
Yes.
The sun,
of course it's possible.
Well, that's going to basically cause a huge solar flare that'll crisp parts of the Earth?
It's possible. Now, during the time of the lack of solar wind, the Earth's magnetic field expanded. Whether that would make us particularly vulnerable to a coronal mass ejection or something like that is an interesting question. These are things we don't understand. We truly don't understand. The scientists who observe this have no idea. They don't even have the slightest clue of what happened on May 11th. And they didn't even, as a matter of fact, they didn't even announce it until the 13th of December, until just recently. because they have no answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of funny because I've heard some theories put forth in regard to something like that, and it's kind of funny because given the fact that, you know, we have this all of a sudden this lack of something going on with the sun that normally does happen, and then you sit there and you look at the government and they're all going underground. You know, maybe they know something we don't know. You know, it seems, and I've heard something to this effect. I just can't remember where I've heard it, because it makes you wonder. Because you know, if that's the case, you know, and you know, because of the stuff that you were describing in your book, and you know, all the cause and effect from the weather and the ice ages and stuff.
Right.
You know, it might be a moot point if we all get fried to a crisp here. There may not be anybody left.
Well, that's what Ed Deem says.
You know, there may not be anybody left here to know what's going to happen. But the interesting thing is that I would love to find out who the heck that guy was, because his explanation of what goes on when the sun was very accurate.
Very intriguing, yeah.
And I tell you, you could devote a whole show with that guy, because, you know, I was on the edge of my chair listening.
Me too. I appreciate the call, sir. Yeah. Nobody really quite understands the process that's going on, or the interrelationship between the sun and the earth and our weather and our magnetic field. And nobody really quite fully understands all of that, certainly the scientists. But I would say the average person would say, oh yes, the sun would have an effect on our weather. Wouldn't you? I would. What goes on in the sun? The sun is a vital in every way imaginable to life on Earth. And so any change in it would affect all life on Earth, right? Right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art?
Yes.
This is Nate in Utah.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about your book?
Yes.
I don't know if you knew, but we had a tornado here.
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah, That's kind of weird, you know? I mean, you know, with, you know, the global superstorm and all that, I mean, considering that Utah isn't supposed to have tornadoes.
I know. Believe me, I know, sir. I have nothing to offer you except read the book and let me know what you think.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks.
Thank you, and take care. It's a serious book. It's going to cause a lot of consternation. It's going to be very controversial. And I'm afraid it's accurate. It's called The Coming Global Superstorm. It's available now on Amazon.com at about a 30% discount. It's available in bookstores across the country. And it's available last time, today only, and ending today. I repeat, ending today. You will not hear me talk of this number tomorrow night or ever again. By calling 1-800-864-7991. There's where you can get an autographed copy. Otherwise, you're going to need to come to Manhattan, because that is the only book signing we're going to be doing. But you can get an autographed copy by calling 1-800-864-7991. Now, write the number down. You may not get through right now. I know it's jammed, and I am sorry. So if you don't get through tonight, try it during the day. 1-800-864-7991. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Art. Hey, I'm a fire captain and an EMT and a hazmat technician.
Yes, sir.
Up here in, calling from KGO, KAGO Radio in Grand Falls, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
And you had a police officer on earlier.
That's right.
And he was saying that they didn't hire any more forces and stuff like that.
He said his particular department was not doing anything special for New Year's Eve, yes.
Well, here in Oregon we are.
Yeah, oh, in most places, actually.
We've actually hired on another crew for that evening, and I'm not working, and I'm working New Year's Day, unfortunately, but...
You know, I talked to a reporter earlier today, and you know what he said? He said that the the reporters in Las Vegas, who are going to be in helicopters covering the festivities going on in Las Vegas, have been advised to sit on flak jackets in the helicopter.
I'm not surprised they don't do that now anyway, but...
Because people are going to be firing guns and that kind of thing into the air, and nobody wants to get shot in the butt.
No, I know, and that makes bad news for the gun owners. But, you know, they're doing this all throughout the state of Oregon. Now, this has come down to our department, and this is statewide. And I'll tell you, our administration would not spend extra money if they didn't have to. And so this is kind of a surprise that they hired a whole shift for manning an extra ambulance and an engine. Now, Crown Falls is only like a population of about 40,000, 45,000 people. So we're not talking big city here, but but they're doing that all over the state of Oregon. I thought it was interesting. And also, I'd just like to add, I want to give honor to my brothers, my fallen brothers in back east in that terrible fire, and their families.
That was terrible.
Coming from a firefighter myself, it's those boys, they did the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you, Art, very much.
Thank you, sir.
It was an honor. Thank you, sir.
Take care. They sure did. They put their lives on the line, and there are going to be a lot of people doing that on New Year's Eve. It's going to be quite a night. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, calling from KENI Land up here in Anchorage.
Anchorage, yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, all this talk about the Y2K glitches, have you actually seen one? And would you like one demonstrated to you, for you?
Sure.
Well, what you do is you go to your desktop on your computer, you double-click on your clock in the bottom right corner.
Yes.
And you change the year to the year 2000.
Yes.
Then you go visit a website that is an internet service provider up here in Anchorage, actually out in the valley, www.
No, don't give the whole thing.
Okay. Well, I could give it to you, and you could go take a look, and you'll see part of the problem that they're having.
Which is what?
The JavaScripting that's used to write the web pages or other programs is what's causing the problem. And it doesn't recognize the what it's doing is, on that particular web page, their JavaScripting is going to your computer to get the date. And it will display it as the year 19-2000. If you're using Internet Explorer.
Really?
So it'll display it as the year 19-100 if you're using Netscape. And it's duplicatable on IBM, Macintoshes, Windows 95, 98, second edition, Windows 3.1.1. I talked to Bill at Microsoft, not the Bill, but...
Not the Bill. I was going to ask, yes.
A service technician at Microsoft.
What did he say?
I had their entire technical department going and changing dates on computers and going looking at websites.
Really?
Kid you not. And they could explain the one I was going to give you, but they could not explain another one why it was reading the same thing. Because what you can do is you can go on this particular website, what you do is when you change your computer clock, the year 2000, and you go to this website, what you will see is you will see the date saying December, if you just change the year, it would say December 16th, the year 2000, or 19-2000. If you use your mouse and you highlight that, the date, go up to your view, and you can view source. And what you can see is the JavaScripting that's used to write that web page. And you can actually see right there where it says, get the year 19 plus 2000.
All right, well, I'll check it out. Listen, sir.
I wish I could give you the date or the website.
I wish you could, too, but I've had a bad experience with that or two where people sent people to X-rated websites.
This is an internet service provider here in the valley.
I know. I understand. But I still have to be careful. Listen, program's over. Tell everybody good night.
I'll fax to that website.
All right. Tell everybody good night.
Good night, U.S.
There you go. Bye.